This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back. Chucky's on 106.7 The Fan. We're live on NBC Sports Washington. Presented by EMP-180 Weight Loss Structure, accountability results, the standard for weight loss in the area. It's EMP180weightloss.com. Just a three-man show today. Jason has the stomach virus.
He's got the sickness. He needs to stay away. He needs to get better. Once he doesn't have a virus that he can infect every single person he comes into contact with, then he can come back.
Problem now, if he stays away the rest of the week
and
misses the next two shows, we won't see him for 3 weeks, because apparently he has a vacation week set
up
next week.
That's correct.
Are you really going to miss him?
I'm not. He's missing out on this Caps run.
He is.
These are fun shows.
Well, not as fun when you lose.
This one definitely not as fun. This one not as fun.
But in general,
not as fun as after the two wins in Tampa.
General. Yeah, more people are interested. More people listening. We see that in our streaming numbers. Somebody asked, "Are your ratings up?" Because of this Caps run, I said, well, it's kind of early to tell because the ratings are kind of like backwards.
Takes a while.
It certainly doesn't hurt.
Well, you can see numbers. We could see minute-by-minute streaming numbers. I'll just pull back the curtain for a second. And on the stream, you can see a huge increase in listenership after Caps victories or after Wizards victories.
Also,
just the way it is.
And I've seen the numbers for regular season Caps games, how many viewers there are on TV. We're in a different medium, but how many viewers are on TV? It's like multiplied times 10 for the playoffs.
It's just so much better. It just is.
This is when all the casual fans or non-fans actually pay attention.
This is when families watch games together.
Absolutely.
You know, during the regular season, you watch it on your own. You keep an eye. You're kind of a diehard.
Yeah.
But for the playoffs, your whole family's watching. All right. So we have Mike on.
Bonding moment.
All right. Speaking of playoffs, we fully expect the Nats to be in the playoff hunt. We got a little nervous there, Mike. At the beginning, we're talking to Nats general manager Mike Rizzo. A little kind of a shaky start, and then boom, you guys off and running. Still not healthy, and yet you found a way. You sweep the D-backs. You won 13 out of 15. You got to be feeling pretty good about yourself.
Yeah, we feel pretty good. You know, we're like you said, we started off a little beat up, a little rocky. You know, trying to get it to know the coaching staff, know the players, and vice versa. So, you know, you combine some injuries with some newness, and we're trying to like weather a little bit of a storm. You know, we started the season well. We won 4 out of 6.
Right.
Then the Eaton injury, and then Rendon went down, and you know, we're without Murphy. But we've kind of righted the ship a little bit, and we're finding ways to win. We're pitching great, you know, playing, you know, pretty good defense, and scoring some big runs at big times.
By the way, we're going in the clubhouse with Mike Rizzo, the Nats GM, presented by Burke and Herbert Bank, unexpectedly different. Ryan Zimmerman is one of those guys who's banged up, and you guys sign Mark Reynolds. Talk about that acquisition. He hits 2 home runs his first game.
Well, you know, Mark's a player familiar with me. I signed him as an amateur out of University of Virginia in the 15th round years back. And, you know, he's a consummate professional. You know, he's a pro hitter. He's got big-time power, you know, a swing-and-miss type of guy. But when he's hot, he could carry a team. He's coming off a season where he hit 30 home runs and you know, drove in close to 100. So, you know, he's played on that stage before. He's done it. And you know, we felt that, you know, this was before the Zimmerman injury, that, you know, this guy could be a helpful player for us on this team as a bench player, as a guy who could fill in for Zim at times and kind of, you know, really hit left-handed pitching well.
What was he doing before?
He was sitting on the couch, working out on his own, and you know, trying to piece together, you know, what he was going to do after, you know, having a really good season last year. was kind of bummed out that he wasn't getting any major league offers, and he was just working out on his own and waiting for an opportunity. And I think the relationship that we had, we kind of talked it into a role here, and he saw some things that that could fit for him, and went for it. And the result is that he was in the big leagues with us after about 2 weeks of playing, and help us win that game in Arizona, extremely well.
I mean, it's just crazy. I mean, when you look at a guy who played 148 games last year, hit 30 bombs, drove in almost 100, right? Hit almost 270, and he's sitting at home. He's got to be by far the best player that was just floating out there at this point, right? Is there anybody, are there other Mark Reynolds that are sitting on their couches waiting for offers? I mean, I'm sure there's some guys maybe 39, 40, 41, but 34, you could still contribute.
Well, yeah, that's what we thought. We liked him at the beginning of spring training. We reached out and made an offer. At that time, he wasn't ready to take a minor league offer because of the season that he had. And then finally, we circled back and said, kind of gave him a little conversation, saying, what are you waiting for? What are you trying to accomplish here? I want to get back to the big leagues. They said, well, sitting there is not going to help you get back to the big leagues, because if an injury happens, if something does go wrong with a team, you're going to have to go through 4 weeks of spring training to get prepared. So you might as well do the 4 weeks now, and then when something happens, you get to go right away. And we kind of mapped out a plan of attack for him, and he accepted it, and we signed him the next day. And like I said, 2 weeks later, he's in the big leagues for us.
Mike, we know you don't get too high or too low with individual or series wins, but to go to Arizona and sweep the D-backs, giving up just 7 runs in 4 games, that's pretty impressive stuff.
It really was. That Diamondback team is a good team. It's a good offensive club. They've got good pitching. They were the hottest team in baseball when we walked in there. And, going into that road trip, San Diego, 3 in San Diego and then 4 in Arizona, you're hoping to as you do all the time on a road trip. So, you go 500 and it's a successful trip, those West Coast swings. So going in there and taking 4 from that team, as hot as they were, as good a lineup as they have, it was terrific for us. The starting pitching was outstanding. The bullpen was great. We got some timely hitting. We bunched a few hits up and we played pretty clean baseball. So all in all, it was a really good road trip for us. Arizona was again. It was a May series, but to complete our 2 West Coast swings, get those out of the way before the end of May is good for the club. The travel should be much easier from here on in. We don't go much past the Mississippi for the rest of the season, which is great.
Mike, you guys are getting great pitching again, and not to be surprised, especially with your top 4 guys. I mean, the worst guy, statistically, is Strasburg right now, and we know how great he is. But the story I'm amazed by is Hellickson, right? Another one. This is why you're the GM of the year. This is why they give you the big deal. This is why they give you the big money, Mike. So you bring him in, and the way you're managing him, guy has a pitch. Let's be honest. Okay, proven major league pitcher, but hadn't pitched well the last couple years. And you guys, we all know the stats, right? The third go-around, he seems to do a lot worse. And so you guys are managing him where, even if it's the fourth or fifth inning, if he's coming through that third time, you guys are pulling him, maybe up to 50, 60 pitches even. And I'm wondering, it's working out perfectly for you, but is that something you can do long-term? Is that the plan long-term for this guy? Can you succeed long-term doing it this way?
Well, I think that, Davey's management of the starting pitching in the bullpen has been terrific. He puts people in position to succeed. He's done that with Hallie. Jeremy's been terrific for us, and we all know the statistics. The third time through, but Davey's given him some rope. The third time through, a couple of the starts he's mm-hmm. pitched, the last 2, I think the game dictates how we're going to handle Hellickson or any other starting pitcher. On days where the bullpen is used up, and sometimes we expect our pitchers to go 7 or 8 innings because of the way the bullpen is. And I'm sure Hellickson will have that type of start sometimes. but we're so far we've managed his innings terrifically. He's pitched outstanding for us, and he's been a great addition to the club, and the guys fit in the clubhouse perfectly. And it's a pretty seamless fifth start when we run him out there. So I think depending on the bullpen and depending on the situation of the game, that we'll utilize him differently in different scenarios.
Joined by Mike Rizzo, general manager of the Washington Nationals. Mike, it's time for the Burke and Herbert Bank fan question of the week. The Rangers called up 34-year-old lefty Brandon Mann from AAA before Sunday's game in Houston. He'd been in the minors since 2002, but had yet to make his major league debut. What's the hardest part about playing in the minors for an extended period of time, and how does one not lose hope after so many years? That's from Mark in Arlington.
Well, that's a remarkable story. You talk about, a tough kid and stick-to-it-ness and all that stuff and, chasing your dream. The minor league baseball, I played it for several years. I loved it. I mean, it wasn't a great hardship for me. It was playing baseball every day for a living and getting paid for it. But obviously the conditions in the minor leagues are not what they are in the big leagues. The travel's different. The food is different. The accommodations are different. The baseball is different. So for this guy to really chase his dream for that long, it says a lot about him. It says a lot about the Rangers organization by, giving him that opportunity. I think it's a terrific story. And my heartfelt congratulations go out to him. As an old minor league grinder, it's really refreshing to see, guys reach the ultimate goal of the play in the big leagues, to be one of the 750 greatest in the world at that time. Is something to be proud of and to cherish.
All right, Mike, keep it going. It's Mike Rizzo, president of Baseball Ops, GM of the Nationals. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you, Mike. Appreciate it.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it a lot.
Okay.
Yep. Thanks,
of course,
Mike. Every Wednesday, 9 o'clock, we go in the clubhouse with Mike Rizzo, presented by Burke and Herbert Bank, Unexpectedly Different. Coming up next, Ken Danico, scheduled to join us.
He was scheduled yesterday.
Always scheduled. NHL Network studio analyst with a different perspective on the Caps.
You know what? Drabby, your job's on the line. Job's on the line.
On the line.
Hey, it's okay. You know what? He can just go down to Augusta. This is going there. You'll find a job
if Danico,
there.
I'm going to make this executive decision right here.
Okay.
If Danico's not there, you're switching seats with AWOD for the rest of the show.
For the rest of the show,
yeah. You got to cut. Video clip.
You're bumping AWOD up,
and AWOD is gonna do whatever you do. I don't even know what you do. They'll sit there and answer calls.
He sells tickets to the Masters.
Seat squeak.
It's on you. Yeah, no more buying tickets to the Masters and all that stuff you do during the show.
Is it French Open coming up?
Right. What are you rooting
Adam
for?
Adam will be on Nikki Verdine's Facebook page. I'm rooting for him not to post.
You're rooting for no Ken Danico.
Join us, Ken Danico from the NHL Network as we talk Caps Lightning.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome back. Junkies All 106.7 The Fan. We're live on NBC Sports Washington as well. You're going to follow along on TV. And joining us right now on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline is Ken Danico, an NHL Network studio analyst. NHL Network's NHL Tonight airs live before and after every playoff game. And you can watch Ken on NHL Tonight following tonight's Vegas-Winnipeg game. Hey, Ken.
Hi, guys. How are you?
We're doing well. Thanks for joining us. Ken, before we start breaking down Capitals Lightning, I want to talk about one of your longtime Devils teammates, a guy that I loved when he was a Washington Capital, but I was forced to hate his guts when he was a Devil along with you because all you guys
I know
did,
where you're going.
All you guys did was prevent the Caps from winning Stanley Cups during your guys' run. I'm talking about Scott Stevens. What was it like being part of a defensive core along with him and winning three cups with the Devils, with him by your side?
Well, first off, guys, I was no different than you when he was a Washington Capital. I go way back to 1988 when We played you guys in the playoffs and ended up winning that series in seven, and Scotty was an absolute beast. He was no fun to play against, and in fact, in his top 10 hits, I think I'm 10th cutting through the middle, and he sent me doing a cartwheel at center ice. We ended up having a little scuffle after, but I certainly was a lot happier when he became a teammate coming over from St. Louis in that crazy compensation deal. And you know what? He led by example. He was a guy that, not overly talkative as a captain, but when the team wasn't going well, and what you want your leaders to do in practice is, you know, work hard. He would get your attention. He would even hit you in practice when things weren't going well to make sure we were ready for next game. So when I was drafted the same year as him in the first round, late in the first round. He was early. I wanted to be a poor man, Scott Stevens. That was my goal. So how about that?
You know, you win three cups. And here with the Caps, we've had a lot of opportunities. We have some great regular seasons, and we kept getting stymied in the playoffs, oftentimes by the Penguins, who we were finally able to get past in this last round. And we talked about the psychological hurdle that was. Did you ever have a psychological hurdle to get over before you finally could break through and start winning those cups?
Yeah, making the playoffs. My first 5 years, we didn't. We weren't a very good hockey club, but we were young and building towards something. And for us, it was more the miracle. We went on a miracle run in 1988, 7-0-1, our last eight, had to win in overtime, get in the playoffs. And we were able to carry that momentum and win a couple of rounds, beat the Islanders, who were seeded first that year, then the Capitals in second round, and lost to Boston in the Eastern Conference Finals in Game 7 in the third. So it kind of started a different mindset, different culture in New Jersey, that we were going to be a formidable team, a team that could compete on a yearly basis. So that was kind of our turning point. I feel it wasn't necessarily a team, but I remember back in 91 when the Penguins won their first cup, they steamrolled everybody, but people seem to forget we had them down 3-2 in round one, end up losing 4-3, and then they steamrolled after that. So they never would have won that first cup, but nobody remembers. But we had them dead to right, game six at home, leading by a couple of goals as well, and couldn't hang on and lost game seven. So that one stung a little bit, but obviously being part of some of those championship teams after certainly eased the pain. And I look at the Washington Capitals, I'll tell you, they did cross a hurdle. Not just about, you know, slaying the dragon, as everybody's been saying, and the Pittsburgh Penguins and finally beating them, but just the way they're going about it. I mean, down 2-0 at home against Columbus in round one, you got to go through some adversity, fight through it. It makes you stronger, makes your team come together. Their stars are starring. And I really like Alexander Ovechkin. I think he got a bad rap over the years as far as that's what happens when you're a star guy. Well, has Ovechkin done enough? He's been terrific in the playoffs. They just haven't found a way. I thought last year they played great.
Right.
Fell short against Pittsburgh. But just their calming influence, listen to their interviews after the game, and they've got bigger plans. They beat the Penguins, but they were able to move right on from that and play terrific in the first couple of games against the Lightning. No emotional letdown, and they've got some mojo going on. And I speak from teams that I was successful with and fortunate enough to be part of, where you feel confident. You feel anytime you go out there because you've got everybody contributing, fourth line guys scoring goals, your stars playing well, Holtby playing well. I know last night didn't work out, and you expected Tampa to have their best, but the Capitals are going to be a threat here, and I think they've got a good opportunity to possibly go all the way and win it.
Yeah, I think a lot of us agree with you, but we get nervous. You know, I'm big on sort of the psychology, the getting over the hurdle. You talk about that. They've got that. But also in these series, and we see it all the time in the NBA and in the NHL, that things can change on a dime. So the Caps start out this series great, right? They're clearly the better team in these first two games. Bit of a letdown last night, so they're still up 2-1. But psychologically, it's kind of a different thing now, because if they slip, let's just say they play great and puck luck screws them, and now they're 2-2. I mean, this can happen. Happens all the time in the NHL, right? These things can change psychologically on a dime, and I think they factor in on these guys' minds.
Well, absolutely, and Tampa Bay gave you no indication they were going to bounce back in Game 3 after the first two.
Right.
The way the Capitals dismantled them and the way they played. But if it was easy, everybody would win. Everybody would do it. You knew Tampa Bay, the Eastern Conference champions, were going to come out, maybe have an answer in Game 3. And I thought the Capitals did let down a little bit. I mean, look, special teams was the difference in the game, and they scored first, and you play a much different game and play more confident when you you get that first goal, and they certainly did on the power play. Capitals took a few too many penalties. But just watching the compete on the puck in the first two games was impeccable for Washington. And it was missing a little bit in game three, and that's something that's all part of a learning curve. And I am sure game four, they know the importance. They want to go up 3-1 and be able to close it out in Tampa. They're going to come out a lot harder than they did. I just felt there was a little bit of a let up from the Capitals after winning the first two, and you knew Tampa Bay's backs were against the wall, as they say, and they responded.
Talking to Ken Danico, NHL Network studio analyst. You can watch NHL Network's NHL Tonight live before and after every playoff game. You can watch Ken on NHL Tonight following tonight's Vegas-Winnipeg game. Nicholas Backstrom hasn't been available in this series. How big will it be if he can return for game four?
Well, they've done a remarkable job without him, and that just adds another star-type player. Obviously, Lars Eller stepped in and done a good job, but it usually catches up to you in the long run when a star guy's missing. They've been able to get by a few of these games, and their first loss last night without Backstrom was last night in game three against the Lightning. But just his calming influence, his presence, one of the more underrated players in the National Hockey League, a guy that can make plays on a nightly basis and certainly on the power play. So I think it's like adding an element. You're going, wow, we've been able to win without him, but now we get Backstrom back, we're going to be in good shape. And I certainly would think the Caps hope it sooner than later. I think he might have come back earlier and battled through it if things weren't going so well, but the Caps were afforded that luxury when they were winning without Backstrom to get him a little more healed.
Let me ask you this. You played without teeth. Did you ever play with a broken hand?
As a matter of fact, I certainly did. And the playoffs against the New York Rangers, I had two crushed fingers from a blocked shot. Lou Lamoriello and me quietly went to New York to a hand specialist. We wore a rubber cast with two fingers, cut my glove out like a mitten, and played through it. But our mentality was back then, no matter what, you had to get out there. And certainly I didn't want to miss any time. I somehow managed, but it's not easy. Don't get me wrong.
What do your hands look like these days? Do you look like some of those NFL players where the fingers go in weird directions?
Just one of them is a little bit banged up. But overall, I consider myself very lucky that I kind of got out of the game unscathed a little bit.
Ken, you bring up a good point. Talk about the war of attrition that's going on with all the teams that are still left in the Stanley Cup playoffs, in that you're taking a puck off your hand, or you're taking one off the skate or off your hip, and you see these guys limping off the ice. Some of them don't return, but some of them will come back like for their next shift or for the next period. So that has to add up as you keep getting deeper and deeper into the playoffs.
It does. And this time of year, I mean, hockey players are so courageous, and we've talked about it for many years, not just in my era, but today you see guys getting pucks to the face and coming right back and playing the next period, getting stitched up or losing some chicklets along the way here. But yeah, this time of year, everybody's banged up. You have to – it's a war on nutrition. It's a war of attrition, shall I say. It's the team that can stay healthy, and you mentioned some puck luck along the way. It is a grind, and you've got to battle through it. So everybody this time of year has a lot of players. Every team, if you're in the Final Four, has a lot of guys banged up right now. But you don't hear about it till the playoffs are over, and you just hope you can get through that grind and be the last one standing. And I know through the three cups that I was fortunate to be part of, we had a lot of guys with broken bones or ailing backs or bad arms, whatever it may be, and that's what the price you have to pay to win it all.
You know, another guy who's been critical to the Caps' postseason run has been John Carlson. He's got 14 points in the playoffs already. He's got 11 assists and 3 goals. You know, you look at him, he's going to be a free agent. He's going to cash in after the season is done. Do you ever think to yourself, man, I played in the wrong era? If I was playing in 2018, I might get $4 or $5 million a year. I mean, he's going to command $6.5-7 million on the open market. He's been a big part of the Caps' success.
Absolutely. A Jersey native as well, and I do the New Jersey Devils game. Boy, would I like to see him there. But having said that, he's been terrific. And, yes, would I have liked to play in this era? Well, of course. I mean, guys, it's business. I God bless them all for getting whatever they can, because it has become a big business. And certainly John Carlson is going to be awarded a nice contract, rightfully so, Norris Trophy candidate. I watched him last night, too, and just the subtle little things he does. He's so smart with the puck, a guy that's been so instrumental on the Capitals' blue line for sure. But yeah, no question about it. Even role players like myself would be making a couple million more than you normally do. However, I'm just grateful I played the game as long as I did. I don't take for granted. It's a privilege to play in the National Hockey League.
Real quick before we let you go, who do you like in the other series to come out?
Well, I tell you, it is so, you know, you look at the Vegas Golden Knights and we're waiting for the bubble to burst. I guess a full 82 games and winning two rounds, there is no bursting of the bubble anymore. I mean, I'm just amazed like everyone else is in the hockey world. What a story they have become. On paper, the Winnipeg Jets look like a deeper, stronger team, but the best team left that plays like a team, not on paper, is the Vegas Golden Knights. I mean, this team is relentless. They battle every night. They always respond like they did in game two. I think it's going to be a long, drawn-out series, probably seven games. I still think the Jets, at the end of the day, will be the last team standing. But, boy, it's hard to ever doubt the Vegas Golden Knights. This has just been a miracle story, and maybe they're not done yet. Maybe Cinderella is not going to go home just yet. What a story that would be if they did make the Stanley Cup Finals, for sure. But I still think the Jets have a little bit more at the end of the day. I think this game tonight, game three, is a pivotal one for both clubs.
All right, Ken, it's been fun talking to you. It's Ken Danico from the NHL Network.
Thanks, let's do it again. Thank you, Ken.
My pleasure, guys. Good talking with you.
Yep. All right, take care, buddy.
He joined us on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline.
That's a tough dude. And, you know, I was bringing up Carlson. He wasn't the John Carlson type of defenseman where he provided a lot of offense, but that dude is tough. I remember watching him play along with Scott Stevens. Mm-hmm. That was a brutal defense
and
in New Jersey.
Reading about him, he was famous for playing without the teeth. Did he have one missing tooth like Ovi, or
he
did
had
he have a couple?
He had the big,
he had
giant,
a big old hole in
yeah,
there.
Yeah, that's old school hockey right there, when you basically have no teeth up top. Mm. He was a good guest. Appreciate him joining
us. He was disappointed, even though he was a good guest.
Yeah.
I think he was rooting for a no-show so that Drab would be bounced out.
Yeah, I'd like to see him
demoted.
Do we
call that Drab first chair? You know, like, you were a guy that was in the band.
You came through, Drab.
I think so.
What do they call it in band?
I think he and Valdez are co-first chairs. That's what I would say. But, so, yeah, either one. I'd like to see Drab demoted. I have no problem with that.
By the way, speaking of AWOD, big surprise, I encountered him in the bathroom. I mean, when he's not sitting next to Drab, he's always in the bathroom, and he was messing with his hair, and I said, you know what, you might need a haircut, and he said, have to wait till Friday for the paycheck to come through. Mm. And I thought to myself, if I needed to wait for my paycheck to come through
to get a haircut,
I would jerk the wheel into oncoming traffic.
Meanwhile, he's probably still spending all kinds of money on the vending machine.
I'm sure he is. I mean, he probably has 1,000 financial life leaks over there.
Is that because he has no credit card? Is that the deal?
Probably maxed out.
Is it maxed out?
I'm
That's
guessing.
Right, because he's got like a $500 or like $250. Doesn't he have like a humiliating balance?
Adam, what is your credit card situation?
I have a $300 limit, and I'm at
$299.
My wife's joking. So do you have like when was the last time you made a payment on your credit card?
Last month. I'm on time with it.
You are? What do you make the minimum? You pay the minimum like every other dope?
Why don't you call them to try and get your limit a little bit higher?
They said I need, you know, 3 more months of
credit.
Regular. Yeah.
So you recently, this is a brand new credit card that you've acquired.
Yes.
Yeah. What took you so long? You've been out of college. I mean, Mike, well, he doesn't have his own, but he uses my credit card. But I mean,
My checking account was pretty good for a while. And then, you know, I decided I had
you
to get a credit
card. You felted that. So you
yeah.
felt. But you understand, credit is not something where you, like, borrow the money and then never pay it
back.
The
available
balance,
right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm going to pay it back on Friday.
$0.46.
Min payments, like a mug.
So many min payments.
I live
Do you know how high the finance charge is on your payments on your balance? It's probably, like, 19%. It might be 25%.
He probably doesn't understand what that means.
No, I'm sure he doesn't.
Does that mean that next month it rolls over so I owe another 19%? Of the original?
It means that a charge is tacked on to whatever you're not paying every month. So
right.
It just keeps climbing and climbing. And you keep spiraling further and further into a debt hole. That's where you are right now. Big old deep debt hole.
All right. Phone number is 800-636-1067. You want to chime in or anything? We're the Junkies. Coming right back. Welcome back. Chucky's on 106.7 The Fan. We're live on NBC Sports Washington. Earlier, we were trying to give away these tickets to Real Madrid versus Juventus, but we got sidetracked on Drab's lie that he wants to go to the Masters versus he wants to get Masters tickets to sell
such a
them.
Lie. I want to go Sunday at Augusta. Are you kidding?
That actually was apropos of the segment, which was called Fact or Fiction. The fiction was that he just wants to go to the Masters.
Right.
The fact is he wants to sell those tickets. But right now, we'll just do caller number 10 at 800-636-1067. We'll hook you up with those tickets to see Real Madrid take on Juventus for the International Champions Cup Saturday, August 4th at FedEx Field. Tickets on sale now through internationalchampionshipcup.com. But you can win your way in right now on the Junkies. Get more details at thefandc.com/contest. By the way, on thefandc.com, you can see that article about Valdez's gray hair, which features 100 picks of EB.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's what Shorts did.
And 8 different replications of the same picture of Valdez.
Right. I also wanted to just give a brief mention. We did like 30 seconds on the NBA draft lottery yesterday. You don't know who represented the Atlanta Hawks.
Hold on, the Atlanta Hawks. Usually they send either a current player or like a franchise legend to represent the team. Can I get a hint?
An actress.
An actress represented the
Hawks?
You're
just not going to pull it. Jamie Gertz. It
Why?
Was weird. So you had...
Why?
Chick who was in Twister with Bill Paxton?
She was in...
Lost Boys?
For Lost Boys. Okay. 16 Candles, I believe. I mean, if you see her, she's been
say
on a million
why?
TV shows. Well, I just
What's
looked
their connection?
It up. So, I mean, you had Nick Gilbert, who's the owner from Cleveland Cavaliers' son.
Yep,
you had De'Aaron Fox from the Kings, and you
sure.
had her up there. She's worth $2 billion right now. Hold she on. Married
Jamie
a guy.
Gertz worth $2 billion with
With a B.
Why?
Because she married some rich guy
oh.
who I think maybe used to own the Bucks. Now I guess he owns the Hawks.
Her
husband was trying to buy the Dodgers.
Wow. You know, I see pictures of her. Did she look good last
yeah,
night?
Yeah, she still looks good.
That's sick. I like that. All right, is Chad Dukes on the line? Why do I see Dukies on the hotline? He's always welcome to call, me, of course.
Old Brad Fukerton.
What's in the notebook today?
I'm getting flamed for 7 minutes on hold before you guys brought me on the air, pretty much.
Yeah, I didn't even see you. What's going on?
It's not your fault, brother. The Drab Masters thing, if I may coin a phrase,
yes.
is ricking the hell out of me.
Yes.
That is a Drab
phrase. I mean, it's a blatant lie, right? Well,
Bickle.
Yeah.
It's not only a blatant lie. I would like to right now exonerate AWOD because what he revealed behind the scenes is 100% true. Every time you guys talk about golf, I get Facebook messages from Drab. I get texts from Drab. He's apoplectic. He hates it. He doesn't
yeah.
like golf.
Right.
There's no way he would ever want to go to the Masters. And I want to give you an example of how I know it's true.
Yeah.
We were having an event on the Big O and Duke show. We told everyone to bring food. It was a holiday party. Drab showed up with a tray of half-eaten kava wraps that he'd already picked through. And he said,
Nubs. Genius.
I brought kava for everybody. He'd already eaten it. And he knew that I already knew that he had stolen all the gift cards from the Junkies pile and
right.
was twirling them away for himself.
Right.
And still tried to get away with it.
Guilty
still lied
as
and
charged.
Said that he brought food to people.
Right.
This is who he is. He's the biggest skinflint in the world. He'll sell out anybody for a buck. And he's, you know why he's got to do it? Because his wife keeps smashing up SUVs that he has to pay
right.
for.
His wife keeps wrecking cars.
But
he's buying a new house.
But don't you have a Duke's Bay thing going on where you're hawking things?
Of course.
Yeah, but I'm upfront about it. I
yeah.
steal things from the radio station, and I put them on eBay. I'm saying it into a microphone on the phone right now
right.
where management
he's,
can hear.
He's not slinking around. He's telling
you
people
understand.
He's doing
like,
it.
Did when
he
Nats?
Sell, like, Jason's autograph? How much did that fetch? She put, like, his autograph on a shirt or something?
But for, like, $100,
I forget what it was.
No, it was a live read that Jason signed, and I got $300 for it, and I split it right down the middle with him.
Look at that. So Jason's in on the scam, too.
Well, of course right. Jason is. But you don't understand, Dookies. When the Nats will come over and they bring, like, Max Scherzer bobbleheads.
Right.
That's going in my store.
I try to get one or two. I try to get two for my kids because literally
you
my daughters love them. These bastards, Valdez and Drabby, stuff them
what?
All in their backpacks so they can put it on eBay at home.
I yeah. gave you mine, so make – sure, that you
yeah.
know who these bastards are.
Yeah, no, Drabby and Valdez.
By the way, JP is my favorite junkie because he has the least desire to retain any of the swag he gets, so he's constantly leaving it in the studio.
Right.
And then I swoop in like a buzzer during the afternoon drive shift, stuff it all in my bag, and it goes right up on eBay.
Perfect.
I mean, you can be up front, I'll give it to you. Most
yeah.
of the things.
This, you're a great man. This Drab is not. This idiot makes $40,000 a year. He's never been promoted. He's a zilch. He's got a ditch in his life. No respect. And he's getting beat up by Russians in our studio left and right just because he's desperately in need of some sort of validation. He's not getting it home. And he's sitting here buying houses in South Riding, an Audi SUV for a woman that has no business having a driver's license.
Hey, now, speaking of which, to be fair, since you're bringing up him being a skinflint and yep. not wanting to spend money, I believe for that fight, you said you were going to pay him $1,000. What is the status
now,
there?
He exaggerated that, too. I said I would pay him $10,000 if he won, which he clearly wasn't going to do.
Right. Not $1,000, right, just to take
easiest,
a beating.
Easiest you know bet ever.
There's 4 minutes left in the show. I'm going to find that audio.
No, you're not, because then you'd have to find some audio. It'll be the first time in your career you've done that, buddy.
A lot of Drab grilling.
Why are you giving me such a hard time? I like golf. There's no problem with that. There's
you don't.
There's a few questionable things I've done monetarily in the years past, but that's all behind me. I'm not blocking Brother. People and making them and charging them $10 to unblock them on Venmo like you are.
No, that's a solid
I do that, but
dude. I like that.
I'm on fun about that. Like I don't have any compunctions about what a scumbag dude, I am. But I'm going to get unmuted by me at $10.
How many people?
Who are the idiots who
how many people have paid you $10 to unblock them? Honestly,
I've made four figures doing that. That I don't do anything with the IRS. With. That's cash.
So that's amazing.
So that means more than 100 people have paid you $10 to unblock them.
Yeah, that's 10 times Drab's appearance fee. You should be very familiar with this.
I don't get appearance fees. I'm just a nuts.
Because you're not talent. That's
what works here.
Hey, your best friend moved away from you. It's pretty lonely in these D.C. streets.
Why are you siding with the junkie?
Isn't he pretty much a co-host on Big O and Dukes?
Well, he's pretty much half the show. As Oscar just looks at his phone the entire time.
Yeah, what happened? Thank you. What happened, to Oscar? I mean, it's same old.
His brain is scrambled.
Oh, huh? Really?
Too many prescription drugs.
Oh, is that right?
I absolutely agree with that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, there's too much money being bleated off of Mike O'Mara's back for Oscar Santana to do any show prep.
I think Jason's heading up that highway with that tramadol. Is that what he's taking?
Yeah.
Maybe that's why he's not in.
It'd be a shame if you mixed it with some Kettle One. Did us all a favor.
We had an event on Saturday. Oscar left a box of cash in the garbage can.
Why?
Box of cash.
Why?
He's a buffoon.
Right. Did he go back and get it?
How much cash?
No, I grabbed it, and then he tried to throw me under the bridge.
How much money was in it?
Under the bridge.
Throw me under the bridge. You're such an idiot.
Dukes, you know what? Why can't we ever just agree and be on the same team for once? The junkies, it's been 15 years of you trying to earn their respect. It's not going to happen.
It's actually been 20.
Why? We respect Chad.
Oh, you always see him as the intern.
Yeah, don't lie to a microphone, EB.
I would say I think we respect Chad way more than we do Drabby.
Well, that makes me feel good. I'm going to go treat myself like an amusement park after this.
What a low bar.
It is a fairly low bar. Yeah. No, come on.
You'd respect me more if I was thinner, right? Like, you guys like a different type of body type on guys you respect. I understand that.
No, that's not true. What are you? But you don't care about that.
What are you talking about? I'm mortified by the way I look. I look like,
what do you mean
I look like
care?
Shrek.
He used to tape his nipples.
Yeah, but that was 20 years ago. I don't feel like he cares. I feel like he's good.
JP, there's like 10 years of listeners that don't know that story. I wish you wouldn't bring that up.
Well, you bring up obscure references.
Yeah, I actually had a breast reduction surgery when the station was fun, and I think none of the Sports Talk radio listeners have any knowledge of that, so he speaks the truth.
Right, gotcha. It is true.
I didn't remember the surgery
what
part
happened,
of
when
it.
You had this, do they come, when you have a surgery like that, do they come back?
Yes, I'm looking at them right now. I'll text you a pic if you like. I have no problem doing
What's
that.
What's on the Big Chad Dukes versus the World program today at 2 p.m.?
Oh, we've been truncated for half of a game of baseball that I'm sure is going to be great. So I'm only on from 2 to 4:30, then I'll sit in traffic for the rest of my life.
See, that's the difference.
But yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, I just wanted to say that the reason why I'm being so harsh on Drab is because Matt Valdez called me up and said they did 20 minutes on pens earlier, and where you buy pens, please come on and make some entertaining radio. So I
well, you did good.
That's a good point.
You did good.
Well right. done, Chad.
Thank you, Chad. Appreciate it, buddy.
I love you, boys.
Okay,
love
you
too. By the way, we did get a bunch of tweets. If you had a ticket to yesterday's game, I think you're SOL, right?
You're
that game's done.
Done.
So your tickets for tonight, you can go early to the earlier game.
Got
That's how it works. All right, we got to get out of here. For KCB, I'm JP. We'll see you tomorrow. Grant Danny, next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.